This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Adam Jones is off this week. John Rooks sitting in for Adam on our Sun Life Financial Patriots postgame show. And what a postgame show it's got to be. Great start for the Patriots as they rock Tennessee on the road, 34-13, the final score. So it's time for you now to let me know what your thoughts were about the Patriots' debut for 2012. Let me give you a couple of quick ideas. This is how you can get a hold of us. As you always know, for those that are frequenters to Patriots.com radio, webradio@patriots.com. That's the email address. Fire it off. You got comments, concerns, criticisms. I'm not sure what you can criticize for a 34-13 win. We'll figure out a way to do that over the course of the next couple of hours and maybe the next couple of days as we get into Patriots playbook on Tuesday here programming. But webradio@patriots.com. That's the email address and the telephone number of the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Once again, 508-298-0398. So light them up. Let's hear what you have to say. I definitely believe that the Patriots defense has arrived. The initial impression is that I don't want to get carried away. But we were all looking for something to, I don't know, hang our hats on with this new-look Patriots defense going in. One of the spots, I think, that we clearly know that you had to identify that needed improvement for this team to have a chance to get back to where it was a year ago and have a chance to even improve on that this year and reach the Super Bowl and maybe even win it. Now, this is week one out of 16 in the regular season that they will actually play a game. But you'd have to say, at least initially, starting off, you had to like what you saw. You're a Pats fan, you like what you saw. You saw a rush with front four. You didn't need a whole lot of blitzing. In fact, was there a blitz at all during the game? You saw pressure put on by Chandler Jones. You saw physicality by Dante Hightower. You saw the two combine on a strip sack and fumble return for a touchdown in the first half of this game as well. I mean, talk about paying immediate dividends. How about Tavon Wilson coming up with the tip drill in the end zone to get the first turnover of the season for the defense? You could not have asked for a better start, especially more contribution from the newcomers on the team that early in the process. And then it just seemed like the whole persona, the whole emotion, the whole team started to feed on that momentum that the new guys on the block, new kids on the block picked up and threw out there for the defense. So it's a great start. Patriots on offense did just enough. They were efficient just enough. I thought Tom Brady actually missed some throws, but even on a couple of throws that he missed, guys like Rob Gronkowski were there to pick him up.
There's a lot of balls in the dirt today.
Balls in the dirt, yeah. And that may have also been, Kevin, that may have also been from the blow that Brady took, you know, when he was sacked by, it was Cameron Wimbley, was it not? I believe, yeah, it was Wimbley. And then you saw that he got a knee in the head that looked like it, that's what hurt his nose. I know you saw, if you watched the game at all, you saw the bandage on his nose. He might have broken it. Who knows? Certainly he took a scuff across the bridge of the nose. And maybe that knocked him for a loop. Maybe he was concussed on the play. We don't really know. I don't know that we'll ever truly find out unless Tom tells us post-game wise. But nevertheless, he was able to bounce back. He had an efficient enough day. And how about the running of Stephen Ridley? Over 100 yards for the first time in his career. Patriots set a physical tone on both sides of the ball in this game in order to beat back, which I thought was a pretty athletic Tennessee team. They knocked Jake Locker out of the game. It appeared Locker could have returned, at least from what we could tell from our vantage point. He did not. It was probably the smart play to make there because the game was pretty much out of hand. But you had speed, you had athleticism, you had ability. How about Locker's ability to roll out of the pocket and then turn something in from nothing? Guy is tough. Guy's got athleticism. And on top of that, you know, the 20-yard draw play that could have kept a drive alive that was called back from a holding penalty late in the third quarter, that took the starch out of their shirts. That just really took the starch out of Tennessee's shirts in the game. So there's a lot of good things to point to. I'm sure we'll find things to nitpick on as well, but I really want to hear from you and get your thoughts on the opening edition of the 2012 New England Patriots in response to the 34-13 season opening win on the road at Tennessee today. 508-298-0398 is the telephone number. Ace Ticket Hotline again, 508-298-0398. And the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Fire off your thoughts. I'm going to get to those in a couple of moments. We'll start it off with George in Pennsylvania. George, welcome to the Sun Life Postgame Show.
How's it going, Adam?
Great.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, why didn't they bring Mallett in for the last series instead of having Brady hand the ball off? It wouldn't be rubbing it in if the backup quarterback scores.
Well, you know, no, it probably wouldn't have. And we actually talked about that. Myself and Andy and Paul were watching the game together today here at the stadium, and we thought maybe that...
Valuable reps.
Yeah, maybe that he could have gotten some looks in. But quite frankly, that could have been an issue with Brady and just say, hey, I'm going back in. And they didn't even give it two, you know, they didn't give it two thoughts one way or the other. So it's hard to find any fault with the decision. But I certainly see where they could have done that to get him some reps.
Okay. Well, have a good show. I'll be listening.
Thanks, George. All right. Appreciate that. 508-298-0398 is the number. Kind of hard to really criticize. I mean, if all we've got is, you know, why didn't they put Mallett in to get reps at the end of the game? I mean, yeah, we did also think of that, but, you know, it's the first game of the year. I mean, how much did Tom Brady really play in the preseason? Not a lot. So unless he's got, you know, his arm hanging down to his side, kind of like Lockerhead, or, you know, something of that ilk, you know, I don't think a busted nose is going to keep Tom Brady out of the lineup, do you? Wouldn't that sort of fly in the face of everything that Tom Brady has been for this franchise in his career? He's been tough. He stood in there in the pocket and taken a lot of pounding. Of course, that's part of the worry that we had coming into the season as well, based on what we saw in this preseason. I will tell you this, Sebastian Vollmer went out, when was it, second quarter maybe? And I don't think he got back in. And I guess, forgive me, I didn't pay close enough attention. What I did notice, though, is that in the fourth quarter, Marcus Cannon was still in the game on the offensive line that we were talking about on the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social here on Patriots.com radio. And clearly the play of the offensive line and being able to protect Brady was of pregame interest and importance. And I thought, save for the one sack on Brady that Wembley had in the first half that, you know, gave him the bump nose, I thought the offensive line did a pretty good job, and I thought that Marcus Cannon, who was somewhat maligned for his performance in the preseason, did a very representative job on the right side of the line. And I don't believe Cannon is a tackle. I think Cannon may be better suited for the inside on the offensive line at one of the guard spots. But I thought he did a pretty good job backing up Vollmer at right tackle for the time that he was in there. So because of that, you know, kudos, hey, to Cannon, and for the most part, keeping Brady relatively clean. Let's go to Mike in South Dakota. Mike, you're up next on the postgame show.
How are you doing?
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Pretty good. Just watching a Bills fan leave crying.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, the times that Brady got sacked, I got to say, it wasn't the offensive line. He held it onto it a little long.
He did, Mike. That's a very good point. He definitely held onto the ball too long on that sack.
Yeah, I can't tell you how much I've been drinking since the second half, celebrating about how we now actually have a defense.
Well, you know, the interesting part about it is that it's going to be very hard, I think, to subdue a lot of the enthusiasm that's going to come out of week one because of the way we saw the defense play. I got to admit, I don't know that we saw the defense play as complete a game last season in any instance that we saw today. We saw it on all facets. We saw the line of scrimmage. We saw the linebackers. We even saw improved play from the secondary. There was a much more physical tone to the game overall by the Patriot defenders, and to me, that was a welcome sign.
Yeah, I can't say I was any happier. That was my biggest point of the game is that, you know, we had pressure. We took a quarterback out of the game. I don't like to see that, but I'll take it.
We're all
you
gonna,
know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You all got to take it, right?
Right.
All right. Very good, Mike.
Thank you.
Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. 508-298-0398. Plenty of room for you to jump on. We're hoping to hear from one of the Patriots players here momentarily on the Sun Life postgame show. So we'll get somebody from the locker room here and try to get some insight from them as to, well, hey, tell us about it. Walk us through it. Talk us through it. Tell us what we had and what we need to know, what was going on out there that primarily we might not have noticed. I think there's a ton of stuff that we did notice that was easy for all of us to notice, and yet there's always a couple of things that don't really match up. But nevertheless, a lot of things to be encouraged about. A lot of things to be encouraged about. Let's go to Russ in Walpole, Mass. Russ, you're on the Sun Life postgame show.
How you doing?
Good, Russ.
Hey, the reason why I wanted to call, listen, the offensive line took a beating in the media for, I want to say, the past 2 months, and I think they deserve so much credit. Forget about the pass blocking, because I think that was decent. Let's talk about the fact that Stephen Ridley went over for 100. I think that is, believe it or not, even more encouraging to me. And then if you go on the other side of the ball, look at the rush defense holding Chris Johnson to 4 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I think those two factors are really huge. If you want to project, you know, more than just game one, I think they're both a very encouraging signs.
Well, Ridley going over 100 yards is tremendous. What I thought loved most about Ridley, though, is something that I kind of gave him last year, even though he didn't get enough touches. But he has missability, and by that, he has the ability to make other guys miss him. And he did a lot, really, I thought today, of what Chris Johnson for Tennessee had been known for in his career. You know how he stops and he starts again and he changes direction, spins a little bit, and then, of course, we've seen Ridley, and one of the criticisms of Ridley is sometimes he backs into plays and does a lot of backwards running. He did that today, but he was able to gain positive yardage out of it. I like the fact that the Patriots lined him up and ran quick hitters into that offensive line. So all it takes for the offensive line in those particular instances is just to hit a quick blow and hold their man long enough for the running back to hit the crease. That's what Ridley did exceedingly well today. He was quick to the hole. It's the kind of thing that we were begging Lawrence Maroney to do a few years ago. You recall, Russ, right?
Yes.
And Ridley was able to do that today, and look at the results.
Right. And listen, they were just talking about on the postgame show on the TV about the fact that the Patriots haven't had a dominant running back probably since Corey Dillon, and I agree with that. And you brought up a great point about Maroney. The great thing about Ridley is that he hits the hole and goes, but he also has that, I think you said, escape ability.
Missability.
That Ben Jarvis Green Ellis does not have. And the best part about Ridley's game that I will guarantee you has not been mentioned, he didn't fumble, and he held on to the ball very carefully.
You know what? We kept waiting for it to happen. I have to admit, I'm sure there are others as well. You kept waiting for Steven to fumble the ball just because you knew that, hey, that just might be one of the things you have to live with, and he never did, and I give him a lot of credit. It was a great day for Ridley. You know, yes, you need a dominant back, and this might be a dominant back not in the mold of dominant backs that we've had here recently. Obviously, nobody can be, you know, Corey Dillon. Nobody can even be Antoine Smith, for that matter. But what you can be is a shorter, quicker, faster, even in some instances, tougher running back that can be a little bit more adaptive to what this team is trying to do offensively. You want to nickel and dime people to death, and then you want to bang, you want to hit them with a big play. And I think that's what this Patriots offense is going to be able to do for the long haul. And if you have a guy like Ridley who must be respected for his ability to hit the hole hard and do something with it once he gets into the secondary, then that's going to make the Patriots so difficult to game plan against. He was constantly in Tennessee's secondary today.
Yep, and there's one other point that you haven't mentioned. He actually closed the game out for the Patriots.
Yep.
His running at the very end of the game.
Sure.
When's the last time you could say that the Patriots closed out a game with their running game?
I can't remember an instance, I'll be honest. Can't remember it off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's been a long time. So that to me was very encouraging. And then, of course, like I said, you go to the flip side, and I know people might be killing the secondary a little bit because they did give up some plays. But if you're talking about what the front seven were able to do and really put pressure, not constant pressure on Lockett, but make him a little bit uncomfortable, but more importantly, stop the run, that to me makes the team one-dimensional. And I haven't seen a Patriots defense been able to stop the run that well in a very long time.
You are right on about all of that, Russ. Hey, thanks for the phone call. Sure, appreciate the time today. Good stuff by Russ and Walpole. This one comes from, I can't tell who this is. Kevin Chapman, something or other. Anyway, from his mobile phone. He says, glad for football to be back. Glad to see Hyatt Jones, Hightower, and Wilson. They all made big plays, which they did. Will Fork was a monster today. Lloyd, Ridley, and the tight end tandem all on the good list. Not impressed with Devin McCourty. He has work to do, but welcome back and go Pats. All right, thanks for the email. Hard for me to nitpick on anything today, to be quite honest with you. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Fire us off an email. Let us know what your thoughts and your impressions were about the game today. It's week one. There are still, 15 games, 16 weeks left to play. Are you going to get excited? Or are you going to temper your enthusiasm? Tyrone in Delaware is up next. Tyrone, you're on the. Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, how you doing? I'm going to temper my enthusiasm, but big ups to the front seven. They did do a good job. Ridley was running the ball, but I think I want to piggyback to what Phil Sims said in the game. He said the reason why Ridley was getting really open is because of that Brandon Lloyd factor. And he could just imagine if we had somebody else on the other side where he would open up a lot more space. And that's what happened when Brandon Lloyd, besides that touchdown catch where he should have got, he played pretty good. And you got to be encouraged about that factor.
No
but
question.
One other thing before I go, I think it's three roster spots that you need to take a look at. Elderman roster spot, Danny Woodhead, and Matthew Slay. I know Matthew Slay is a special teamer, but to me, with them three roster spots, you could do something better with getting those three of them, because there's really no potential. Elderman is just a special teams guy, and he can't get no punts. I don't know, but other than that, I'm very pleased. You just won game, but, we go from there, but I'm still going to be tempered a little bit. But
well, you're right. I think that's the smart play, Tyrone. I really do.
Right.
It's a great way to start. Great way to start. You're happy with a win. Anytime you get a win on the road, it's always good. You're happy to see them flex their muscles. You're happy to see them dominate in a lot of stages of the game, especially when you're the visitors. And that they did, but you're right. It's one game. There's 15 still left to play. You got 16 more weeks to go. You're going to have to weather your own body shots from the opposition, whether it's here or on the road. You're going to have to survive and hope that you have enough depth because injuries are going to happen. They are going to happen.
Yeah, talking about injury, what's going on with Bama and Connolly? Wow, that Waters thing looking even more.
Well, yeah, right. Connolly, for those that don't realize, he left the game in the first half. Yeah, and didn't come back. It looked like he probably took at least a ding on the head, if not more so. So because of that, his status is obviously uncertain. And, yes, I think that will add definite fuel to the fire this week on the whole Brian Waters story, won't it?
Yeah, no doubt. All right, man. Thanks for taking my call. Have a good one.
All right, Tyrone. Thank you. 508-298-0398 is the phone number. 508-298-0398. The Ace Ticket Hotline. We want you to join us here in the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Sun Life Financial can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sidelined with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com. To learn more, get the benefit, get to know Sun Life. Another email, this one calls from Jean-Paul. John, what about our run D keeping Johnson to 4 yards and 0.4 yards a carry? That's Paulie the Patriot from the Netherlands. You're absolutely right, Paulie. I think it was 11 carries for a career low 4 net rushing yards for Chris Johnson. Tremendous job by the Patriots and run defense. And to that end, let's go to Nashville, Tennessee and LP Stadium. And Patriots safety Patrick Chung joined us here on the Sun Life postgame show. Patrick, John Rook here. Hey, I wanted to ask you first and foremost about containing a guy like Chris Johnson. Can you tell us what you guys talked about coming in this week and where the focus really was on trying to stop him?
Just stop him, man, because he's a guy, he can get in the open space, he can make some things happen, very dangerous. So limit the space he has, limit his playmaker ability, and, you know, we executed that.
Well, you definitely executed that. I think the other thing we noticed today, though, Patrick, was, and by the way, congratulations on the win. I don't want to jump into this too far before we go and hit the obvious. It's always great to start the season with a win. When you can start the season with a win on the road, how much better does that feel?
That feels good. I mean, it gets the ball moving, but it's just the first game, you know. Second game is really important, too. You know, it's a home opener, and we got to go there and execute like we executed today and just, you know, keep working. You know, just one game doesn't mean anything.
That's also very true. We did notice, however, there seemed to be a certain physical presence to the defense this year. And I don't want to say you guys weren't physical last year, because you were. But it definitely seemed like you were very much interested in putting helmet to helmet on the other guys today. Was there any sort of emphasis put on a more of a physical presence defensively?
No, I mean, every defense will play physical. That's the physical and, you know, get jammed, whatever they got to do, make tackles, you know. That's just how defense should play. It's supposed to be trained animals out there. So, you know, we practice that. During the season, and you know, we got to keep going through the whole season.
You had that today. And then how about the play of some of the new guys out there? Chandler Jones continually got into the backfield. You had Dante Hightower. In fact, the two of them combined on that fumble return for a touchdown. Tavon Wilson in the secondary came up with the first pick. How about the play of the young guys today?
It was good. They played very good, man. We're going to watch some film, see if they played even better. You know, you never know one until you watch film. So we're going to watch film when we get back. I'm seeing them, yo. They had a pretty good game.
They did have a pretty good game. How much better do you feel like overall they really make your defense?
Everybody makes our defense good. It's all about the same guys communicating, being on the same page. But we won't know until, you know, middle of the season, end of the season, man. First game, get the jitters out, get the rust off, and, you know, keep performing.
What was the big concern about Jake Locker coming in? I mean, he clearly looks like he's got plenty of athleticism to roll out of the pocket. He did that a little bit early. Was the issue on containing him, or was the issue of the focus more on Chris Johnson?
I was humbled on everybody, man. They have some good players everywhere. But, yeah, as far as Locker, man, he can throw the ball. He has a strong arm. He's fast. He can play tackles. He's elusive. You know, he's a good quarterback, you know, very good quarterback. So just trying to contain him with pass and trying to contain Chris and, you know, here with Cook, I mean, they have a lot of athletes on the field.
They do have a lot of athletes. What do you feel like you guys did particularly well today against keeping those athletes down a little bit?
I can't really give you a definite answer on that. We're going to watch film, and, you know, if you get at me next week, ask me the same question, I'll have an answer for you.
Well, a win is a win, and it's a good start for this season, and I know you guys have to be feeling pretty good about yourselves. It'll be a good plane ride home, right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Patrick.
Hi, boss.
Appreciate it. Patrick Chung, joining us from, Nashville, Tennessee. Patriots safety. Patriots get a 34-13 win, over the Tennessee Titans. Clearly, it was impressive enough to me to watch the younger defenders, Chung now being a veteran guy in that backfield. You know, he's not going to wax poetic or anything about the young guys, because you don't want anybody to get a big head, right? But I definitely thought there was just a different tempo to the way that the defense was playing. And maybe they were playing with a little more of a chip on their shoulders, because they were maligned a bit last year with the fact that, you know, they gave up a bunch of yards. They didn't give up a bunch of points, but they gave up a bunch of yards, especially through the air. We know that. It was talked about ad nauseum a year ago. And so maybe these guys in the secondary are kind of like, you know what? We can still play. And I got that sense from Patrick Chung right there. I did get that. And it's hard to say, hey, you know, you stunk last year. What's the difference this year? Because they didn't stink. I just don't think that they had quite the weapons with which to work. Now they have better weapons to work with in the front seven. Paul and Andy and I talked about that in the pregame social before the game kicked off today. How, you know, really the key here is for the front seven to be improved so that perhaps the back four can also improve. Now, it's not the only reason the back four can also improve. The back four can also improve because they've gotten a year better. There's a little more experience. They've watched more video. They've watched more tape. They've seen, you know, what they should do in certain situations. Maybe they're a better study of the game than they were a year ago. Maybe the workouts individually and team wise have been structured to improve on their flaws over a year ago. I'd say yes to both of those, in fact. But when you add self-improvement, quickness, speed, durability, that kind of thing, with the fact that the front seven physically is better, well, then now you're talking, all right, we might actually have something here. And so if we have something here, okay, maybe the result will end up being good. And that's what I actually think we saw today. The end result was a pleasant surprise. But as Patrick just said, and as we've had a couple of callers already just tell us, it's one game. Not going to run off the handle, but it's a nice game. It's a good night to be a New England Patriot. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Phone lines are wide open. Give us a buzz, 508-298-0398. Email address is webradio@patriots.com. Post-game comments. That's what we're looking for. I'm John Rook. Adam Jones is away this evening, so we'll be here keeping the keeping you company until around 6 o'clock or so Eastern time. That's how long we'll be here. So we've got plenty of time for you to get your thoughts out on the Patriots. Blake from Southern Cal writes, he says, John, the defense was flying around, as they say. Run D was fantastic. Jones forced a fumble. Hightower scoop and score. The first-round picks already paying off. Offense puts up 34 with Welker having just three catches for 14 yards. Lloyd in one game already does better than Ocho's entire Pat's career. Last but not least, Ridley, very happy with his performance.
I think,
I think we have to find a way to work that drop in a little bit more. We also have to find the one we were talking about during the game, Kevin. Lloyd! It was Dumb and Dumber, and what else was it? What was it?
Dumb and Dumber, and then also Entourage.
Entourage, yeah,
Jeremy
yeah.
Jeremy Piven yelling at his secretary.
Lloyd! Okay, got it. Blake, you hit on all the points. Defense was flying around. Run D was very good. An outstanding game by Vince Wilfork in the middle. I thought Kevin Love also had a very good game. The run support.
Oh, you just did it.
What's that?
It's Kyle Love.
Excuse me.
Kevin
Love is
an outstanding
basketball player. Thank you.
You just love Kevin's. That's the end of the story.
That's all I know. You're right. Thank you for that. I'm sure somebody was getting ready to in mid-type right there. It's Kyle Love, damn you! Okay. Thank you. You're right. And you know why that is? Because I did watch every Olympic basketball game that he was playing. So, USA Olympics this summer. Right? At any rate, he was the only big man presence that the USA team had in the Olympic tournament. Kyle Love's play was very solid today. We saw enough pressure by the ends, specifically Jones, where it made it uncomfortable, more so late, I thought, for Locker. Support as well was there from the linebacker. They were just solid. Solid all the way around. Bent a little bit early, didn't break, didn't snap either. Last year we might have seen the snap, didn't get that. Jones forced the fumble, Hightower scooped it and scored it, and Wilson had the pick on the tip drill in the end zone. So the first round picks, yes, but really, rookies making their presence felt early. Offense does get 34, although 27 of that comes from the offense. The defense did get on the board today, as we just talked about. And Wes Welker, good point here by Blake, just three catches for 14 yards. Didn't need him. He's there. Didn't need to target Welker today. And again, something else that Paul and Andy and I talked about on the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social. The fact of the matter is if you could take one or the other to have a good game, bad game, you wanted a guy like Hernandez to have the good game. You didn't necessarily need to have Welker have the good game because Welker, you know what he's capable of. But you want a guy like Hernandez who, at least from what we saw in the preseason, appears to be on the verge of absolutely knocking it dead this season. Breakout year. They're on the field at the same time. The Patriots start two tight ends. You know where Tom Brady's focus is going to be. He's looking for Gronk, he's looking for Hernandez, and maybe not even in that order. So the offense gets 27 with Welker having just three catches for 14 yards. That's a big, big bonus. And even on the last two field goals, not for nothing. I mean, it's great that Gostkowski hits them, but, you know, I think in a pressure-packed game, one, maybe even both of those instances, the Patriots go for it, keep the drive alive, and try to put the ball in the end zone. Didn't need to today. Yes, Brandon Lloyd, one game, already did better than Ojo did maybe in his entire Patriots career. You saw that he's a physical presence. How about the one play that Lloyd caught the ball that was first quarter, was it? When he had his hand underneath the ball, got both feet down before he tumbled out of bounds. It was a reviewed play for a first down, but you saw the athleticism. Ball was not well thrown by Brady, but Lloyd went out and got it, stuck to it, cradled it, kept possession as he rolled out of bounds. Tremendous athleticism by Brandon Lloyd. Now, I will tell you that on the flea flicker bomb, that was not a connection between Brady and Lloyd early in the game. The ball was not well thrown. And it also may be that Lloyd pulled up, didn't see downfield on it until the play camera actually got down that far. But it appeared to me that Lloyd might have misread the route or misthought what Brady was going to do. And that's why the ball went over his head. And even though he got his hands on the ball, he was pedaling backwards trying to catch up to it. The ball kind of sailed on him a little bit, I would think. And he had 10 yards on the nearest defender. It was an easy touchdown. The Patriots misfired on that one. But I will tell you, though, that I'm not worried. Because later in the game, I think it was the third quarter drive, later in the game when Brady threw a very well-timed, what was it, back shoulder fade to Brandon Lloyd as well. And they connected. And that's only the kind of thing that two players who are on the same page with each other can do. They got to know where the other guy is going to put the ball and where the other guy is going to be in order to complete that play. And they did it. So don't want to hear anything about, you know, I don't know if Brady and Lloyd are on the same page. Yeah, they're on the same page. I the more I think about it, even though it did appear on the bomb early that it was a Brady overthrow, the more I think that that also might have been something with Brandon Lloyd on that play. Anyway, not for nothing. But it certainly could have been 7 points early. And then Stephen Ridley just had an unbelievable day today. And we'll continue with more of that. Mark in Florida writes, the biggest difference with the defense is the ball control offense. Phil Sims noted that the front four didn't do much substitution, and they were still in there at the end of the game. A well-rested defense makes all the difference. They can't rest if their offense can't control the clock. It's true. It's very true. Without Will Fork being gassed by the second half, they'll have the best run D in the NFL this year. I don't know that I'd be willing to go that far, Mark, but we did see certainly steps in the right direction. It's Mark in Florida. Yeah, it certainly helps if you've got an offense that can control the ball, control the clock, keep your defense off of the field, and keep them well-rested, keep them from being gassed. We did see some of that today. Primarily, you know, later in stages of the game when Tennessee's playing comeback and trying desperately to do whatever they can to get back in it, which they were doing when they were down only 21-10. But then the offense came up with a big clock-killing drive that and got back on the scoreboard that basically ended any threat that Tennessee had of coming back in this one. We did see a little of that last year, Mark. I mean, the offense obviously was potent enough last year. Well, the defense wouldn't have to be on the field, but then when they would get on the field, they just were overmatched in some areas. They did not have a good season in the secondary, like we thought that they were capable of having. Now, is Devin McCourty going to be better? Is Rashad Dallin going to stay healthy enough in order to, you know, be a presence? And, hey, the first two passes by Jake Locker today were both targeted in Dowling's direction, and he, you know, committed pass interference on one of them, got burnt on another. So they were definitely, I mean, Dowling, for all practical purposes, even though he's a second-year guy, he's a rookie out there because he didn't play a lot last year. He was hurt. So, you know, did the game get better for him? Well, yeah. But the Patriots, at the very least, survived the early onslaught because Tennessee scored the first 3 points of the game, and then the Patriots ripped off 21 unanswered before Tennessee scored again in the third quarter. So good signs, bad signs. The offense helped take a little bit of that away and the burden away from the defense with some, I don't know, just growing pains or whatever early on. Michael from Kingston, Ontario, Canada writes, great win for the Pats. The new rookies had a big impact. So did Stephen Ridley. Brandon Lloyd looks already like he is going to have a much better year than Chad did last year. This offense will be so much better if we can pound the ball down people's throats. Our rush defense was huge. Chad Johnson could not get anything going. Okay. So, bring on the Cardinals next week. Thank you, Michael. Okay, that's it. I think I know he's talking about Chad Johnson. Okay. Running back, Tennessee. Correct, Michael. Absolutely correct. Good assessment on all ends. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. What are your thoughts? Even if it's just great job by the guys, what did you see that you didn't expect to see from this team? In fact, here's a great question for you, all right? Not that we're going to jump into any nitpicking here. We're going to save that for the Patriots playbook on Tuesday here. But what surprised you the most? Offense or defense? What was the one thing you just didn't expect? Okay? One thing. What's the one thing you did not expect from either the defense or the offense? Webradio@patriots.com and the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Where are you, Pats fans? They just won. Was it that much of a fait accompli? Did you really think that they were going to steamroll Tennessee on the road? I didn't. I thought they'd score late maybe to eke out a win, but I think I said my pregame prediction was 30-21. And I thought the Patriots would score late to give them a two-score cushion and not give Tennessee a chance to come back.
I think we can both agree that was a pretty good butt-whipping.
It was, yeah. But I'm a little surprised.
People aren't that excited.
We've got some complacency here.
You know what I think part of the problem is? It's the first NFL week of the year, so everyone's watching the 4 o'clock games, and they just want football. I don't know.
Patriots fans, where the hell are you is all I'm going to say. 508-298-0398. Come on, pick up the phone. We'll take a timeout. We'll continue with more Sun Life Patriots postgame show coming up.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Have a hot...
That was just messed up. Just talk to the people.
What was that?
So here's what happens. So when I roll on Coach Belichick, Brady, and all them on this computer, I have to take it off the TV. And for when I do this, sometimes the computer doesn't like it, and I have to reboot the computer.
Okay.
But I didn't have time because Brady just finished talking.
So. I see. Gotcha.
So I was just like, instead of going through 30 seconds of Rob sounding like a robot, let's just cut to the chase.
Okay.
Get to the phone calls.
We're back. See, you've got a little inside knowledge now of the radio business. Sometimes best laid plans do not work out.
Damn computer.
Yeah, damn computer. So
I'm going to reboot this, and you can take some calls.
We depend on those, but... Damn computers anyway. All right, welcome back. It's the Sun Life Financial Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook, the host of Patriots Playbook, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays here on Patriots.com Radio from 2 until 4 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're wondering, where's Adam? Adam's off today. I believe he had a family wedding to attend, so I'm glad to sit in for him here today. In the meantime, we've got a 34-13 win for the Patriots to talk about, which certainly should generate, I would think, some enthusiasm somewhere. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And the email address, webradio@patriots.com. We started off with Tom in Washington. Tom, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, John. How you doing? Great game today.
Not bad, huh? Not bad.
No, when I wanted to bring up that play that knocked Locker out of the game. In my novice opinion, that looked like it should have been a catch and a fumble. He demonstrated a football move in possession, both feet on the ground, and the ball came out.
Yeah.
Was that an indictment on the replacement referees, or am I getting it wrong?
No, I don't think you got it wrong. I think it was something, and in fact, I talked about it during the game with Paul and Andy, and we all kind of thought it was sort of a call that could have gone either way. I think Mike Pereira, the NFL supervisor of officials, who always tweets and blogs during games as well, and I know he sits in with the Fox guys or the NFL Network guys, whoever he sits in with, I think he thought it was also a fumble or it should not have been ruled a catch. So, you know, I think it was really something that you couldn't blame the officiating crew either way.
Well, I thought, you know, at game speed, it could have gone either way. But on review, I don't see how they got it wrong. I mean, you know, I'm biased. I'm a Patriots homer. I'll admit it. But on the review, I don't see how they got that wrong. I really don't.
Well, again, I think it has to do with, largely, just has to do with the interpretation of the rules. And I think we have to realize that part of the problem with interpreting the rules, listen to me, I sound like Yogi Berra, interpreting the rules, you know, it's going to be, I think, in some instances, well, for lack of a phrase here, open to interpretation, because these guys don't do it every day like the normal officials do. Let me say this. I thought the officiating crew did a pretty good job today. Whether they were, you know, scrubs or whatever, they did a good job. They were not a factor in this game, and I thought most of the calls they had were pretty much spot on. There was some room for interpretation, but not a lot.
All right, I don't know. I'll take your word for it, but you know, I look at it, and I don't see how they could have seen that any other way. I think it was a replacement referee gaffe. I don't know how else to put it.
Well, again, just from looking at it, I'd really love to see it on a replay right now, but I'm watching San Francisco Green Bay a little bit in one of the monitors in here, like I'm sure a lot of other people are trying to do, watch football. It is the opening Sunday of the football season. I do get that. But here's the thing. In all honesty, it looked to me like it could have been that way. I don't really have a problem with it. And the reason I don't have a problem with it is because it wasn't a crucial enough call where it caused
it
us to.
It wasn't critical to the outcome of the game. It was a separate question, but I just want to speak my piece on it. I'll let you get the next call. Keep up the great work.
It's all good. It's all good. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate the phone call. All right, let's go to Joe in Wyoming up next. Joe, you're inside the postgame show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Joe.
I'd like to say, I like Patriots Playbook. I listen to it a lot, especially when Eric's on. I think you guys work great together, too, if anything adds a bonus.
Well, I really appreciate your saying that. Thank you. We try to do, you know, a little something different. I mean, the PFW guys cover it every day as well, and, you know, in their own zany way, they do a good job. But we definitely try to look at not only the X's and O's, but we try to analyze it. We definitely, you know, nitpick a lot. We talk to other guests. We talk about the other teams. You know, we do a lot of different stuff. So it actually works out real well. It's a lot of fun. I've been doing it now for, this is my 12th year. So it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Well, yeah, good game today. I'm glad to see Ridley had a breakout. I think that's what the Pats needed, a breakout runner, because Vereen certainly isn't showing much. Last season injured, already starting injured again. But Ridley was running well there. Line seemed to hold up okay.
Ridley's performance today was clearly the best of his career. I had somebody send me an email earlier, and I may be wrong here. Did not Ridley rush for 100 yards? Was it against Oakland last year? Was it? Yeah, so it wasn't his first. Yeah, it wasn't his first career 100-yard game. I said that I slipped just because it popped into my head that he couldn't have done, you know, that much last year. Rushed for what, 600, 700 yards.
Right.
But yes, I wanted to give that emailer credit where credit was due. It wasn't his first career 100 game. It was his career high in performance. So,
but he looked good this.
Yeah,
he broke a lot. He was a big. I think much more of a threat this game.
Right.
So,
yes.
Yeah, I would have to go with you. Best game
well,
ever.
Well, the biggest factor to me, Joe, is the fact that he was able to hit the hole quickly. You know,
right.
Not only did, I don't know that he was as deep in the backfield as they normally are, but maybe that was also just his quickness. I mean, he hit the hole. He hit it hard. The offensive lineman did not have to hold their block. I mean, Ridley's the kind of guy that if you're a big hog up front, you love blocking for it because you know he's going to be up on your rear end before you can even take a breath. And
that
these guys, they make their first move to the inside or to the outside to pin their man in or pin him out, and whoom, Ridley's right by you. And that's what you really want to see. It's what you really want to see. They did a great job with it.
And I think it also helps Brady, too. I mean, in the beginning, Ridley had a bad run. I think I looked like, again, he turned his back on the line, didn't make a first down. But then he seemed to get going. And when he got going, the pressure seemed to go off of Brady. So I think that helps a whole bunch, the line and the pressure on Brady for the season.
You know, even though we know it's a makeshift line, and we know that the line is going to be probably a work in progress for several weeks here until, you know, we figure out, you know, if Connolly's hurt for a while, does Brian Waters now get a little bit more money to come back? I mean, I know a lot of people would say, you know, hey, if this is a holdout by Waters, to heck with him, let's move on. But now you have to rethink that a little bit because now your depth may have taken a real pounding today if a guy like Connolly's going to be out for a while.
Agreed.
So, all right, hey, what's it all about? It's all about winning. And you got to put your best team on the field. And if these guys are available to you, I think you have to put team first before any personal feelings aside. And, hey, it's a business. And so go out and get the guy that can do the job if you can. And then I think people feel a lot better about it. But good first impression by the offensive line today for the most part.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I'm sort of with you on the replacement officials. I really didn't have a big problem with them. That call, was it a fumble, not a fumble? I normally wouldn't. I would call that a fumble. But the way the NFL refs call that a lot of times, they wouldn't. So I'm with you. I think that could have gone either way. Overall, I think the refs did a fine job. That if I didn't tell someone who wasn't into all this story, hey, those are replacement refs, probably no one would
have. You wouldn't have noticed. And that's all you want, Joe. That's all you want.
Right. Exactly.
That's all we need. Absolutely.
Yeah. Little worry about the defense. I wasn't sure the pass defense was really that much improved over last season. Probably a little, but I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I would, you know, again, early returns, but I did feel like there was more of a physical presence back there. We saw a little bit more athleticism, you know, with the pick that Wilson stayed with after he got tipped.
Yep.
I think Rashai Dallings is still a little too stiff back there, and we saw him get picked on early. But overall, I don't have any complaints, and I think a lot of that is because of the physical presence up front by the front seven.
That could be. But also, we're going against a central I don't know if a rookie quarterback, how much he played last year, but his first start. So how much does that play into it, too?
Yeah. Yeah, it may not. It may not play into it any. But nevertheless, good first whack at it.
Absolutely. I agree. I mean, hey, good solid win there. As you say, enthusiasm. How can you look at this as a bad game?
It's not. It's not at all. Joe, I really appreciate your phone call today.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks.
Thanks. We'll talk to you soon, I hope. Let's go to Adam in Fort Worth, Texas. Adam, you're holding down the fort in the fort, my hometown. What's going on?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Rook?
Great.
Pretty good, man. All right. Well, first and foremost, glad to have you on the postgame show. And, you know, I'd really rather have you every week on the postgame show.
Well, thank
another
you.
Another conversation.
Thank you.
I thought it was a solid win. I thought the defense looked pretty good. I think play of the game for me was the strip sack by Jones and the recovery by Hightower just highlights, you know, the guys they brought in. They looked good. I was really, really excited by a lot of plays the defense made today. And I think if you could say anything else, the defense wasn't the it wasn't the problem today. And, you know, I think normally if you look at things before, you could say, hey, everything looked good, but the defense we're just not sure about. And give or take some for week one. Starting off where they're at, they got some tape. They can go back, review the tape. But a lot of positive plays for them to go back and look at. And I'm pretty encouraged by the way things look.
You're spot on everything, to be honest with you. Spot on, brother. In all honesty, everything that has occurred today, most everything in a positive sense that occurred today, I didn't expect would happen. So because of that, I think you have to be ecstatic with the way the game started. Defensively, offensively, the offensive line, that was the big question mark. Yeah, I thought that they represented themselves very well. Our boy from TCU, Marcus Cannon, he didn't have any big gaffes up front like, you know, we thought could happen because I think he's a little miscast in his role at right tackle.
No, I agree totally. And, all you can hope for is that these guys, I mean, I got a lot of faith. People said it before, you know, Scar, he coaches these guys up. And, if you're going to get the most out of anybody, you know, Scar is going to really bring out the best in these guys. And like I said, all I can say is that for week one, looking pretty good. And the offense, you know, has a little work to do and, looked like they were a little bit out of tempo, but at this point, first week of the season, I kind of expect the defense to be a little bit ahead of the offense as far as rhythm and timing.
See, that's one thing that I didn't expect. And I think you're right. You don't want the offense to really be clicking, I think, on mid-season cylinders in game one because then where do you go, right? But I would say the offense is about where I thought it could be. I thought the defense was ahead of schedule.
No, I agree 100%. You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword for me. I believe in the preseason, you don't want to reveal everything to give anybody on tape, but you also want to be able to practice these plays against, you know, full speed and in your preseason game. So what do? Do you go full speed and practice some of your plays and allow people to get that on tape, or do you just keep it in-house and practice against, you know, possibly your scout team defense where they're probably not going to give you the look that, say, like a week three Ravens defense is going to give you here in a couple of weeks.
Sure. Yeah. All good points. All good points.
Yes, sir.
How's
it? Was good.
Thanks, Adam.
The weather's down here is beautiful, man. I wish you were here.
Oh, listen. Thank you, brother. Go down on the north side and go hit up Joe T. Garcia's for me, will you?
All right. Will do, John.
Thanks, pal. All right, man. Adam in Fort Worth, Texas. Let's go to Zoe in California. You're up next inside the postgame show.
John, how are you?
I'm good, Zoe.
Yeah, awesome to speak to you.
Thank you.
Listen, just want to get right into the game. First of all, it's a great win. I actually picked the Pats to win, no problem. But I want to temper my enthusiasm just a little bit. I mean, first of all, really was phenomenal. I mean, the run, the offensive line and the run game was just spectacular. But I want to get your opinion on Brady. I mean, it seems to me he wasn't quite on target for actually quite a few snaps of the game. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. He threw a lot of balls down in the dirt. He threw a little bit behind on a couple of occasions, but most of his passes were low. I will admit, Zoe, that was exactly the problem I had with Brady a year ago. He was throwing balls down at the feet of his receivers, and while he got better as the year progressed, that's where the talk started about his, you know, alleged shoulder injury a year ago, that he wasn't able to, you know, completely come over the top, and he was trying to correct it, and the angle with his arm was causing everything to go down, and I thought that was what was plaguing him early in the game today. So I mean, I'm kind of right there with you on that.
Right. Do you think that had something to do maybe with the offensive line and lack of protection? I mean, Marcus Cannon actually did really well.
He did.
For Bomer.
He did.
So what do you think?
Yeah. You know, I think the initial thought is, you want to get rid of the ball if you feel like you got pressure coming. And so when you get rid of the ball quickly, you have a chance, you have a tendency to short arm it a little bit. And if you do that, then yeah, you're going to put the ball into the ground. So that's, you know, you're going to come up short with your receiver. So I really have a hard time believing though that Brady thinks like that, because I think we all know that Tom's a tough customer. He's not afraid to take the hit. We saw that today.
Right.
So does he like to get hit? Well, hell, nobody likes to get hit, especially when you can't defend yourself or prepare for the hit. And I think that's the biggest thing that you're seeing. So did he hit you just a little bit thinking that there was some heat coming? He might have on one or two of them. But I would also think that, you know, maybe it's just a timing issue between Brady and the receivers, to where he thought they'd be X and they were at Y. And, you know, a guy like Gronkowski can recover and make a catch, which we saw him do on a couple of times today. But other guys may not be as capable.
Well, really, really quick on the defense, pros and cons. Chandler Jones was awesome. Hightower was great. But I'm thinking that when it comes to Chandler Jones, basically either he's replacing a Carter or an Anderson, but it's nice to see he's getting pressure. Cunningham looked great. But is it just me, or if there was a better quarterback on the Tennessee Titans, our pass coverage still would have gotten eaten up just a bit?
Well, I think it's possible. I would tell you that I don't know that. First of all, I like Jake Locker. I think he's got tremendous athleticism. I think with time, he could prove to be a very good NFL quarterback. Certainly every bit as good as Matt Hasselbeck, and Hasselbeck's had a hell of a career. All right? Hell of a career. But, you know, if you're talking about somebody who would just sit back in the pocket and try to pick the Patriots apart, I don't think that that's the Titans' game plan. I don't feel like that is their team. That's they're into the athleticism. Let's roll the pocket. Let's get our speed on the corners and let's try to burn you on the edges. They're not going to nickel and dime you, and they're not going to, you know, let that offensive line just create a wall of protection around the quarterback and have him pick you deep. I don't think that's the Titans' way of playing. Now, we might see that, say, from Baltimore, or we might see that, say, from Denver, or, you know, or maybe a couple of other teams that have, you know, pocket passers. And in that instance, I would agree with you that I think the Patriots could give up a little bit more. I think the Patriots defense is probably more schemed toward the athletic quarterback, which is the way that a lot of teams seem to be moving. You know, with more athleticism and roll the guys out of the pockets. It may very well be that that teams that go against the Patriots later this year look and see that, and they say, look, we're going to be more effective if we just sit back in the pocket and try to pick them apart. As long as we, you know, can block and keep their front four out of it, because, you know, the Patriots won't blitz, and they didn't blitz today.
They got a lot of good pressure with the
they did.
Front four. That was awesome.
They did, but they were able to get some of that pressure because Locker wasn't in the pocket.
Yeah.
Right.
So, well, John, thanks so much for your insight. I love your shows, listen to you all the time, and just looking forward to a great season, and I'll be tuning in whenever I can.
Joe, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it, buddy. Let's get to Bob in Clearwater, Florida in here. Bob, you're up next inside the postgame show.
Yeah, hi. First-time caller. Really enjoy the show.
Thanks, Bob.
And I just want to throw a plug in for the officials. I thought they did a decent job. And on the fumble play, I thought it was a fumble myself. But that being said, I thought they got the call right because they let the play go. Now, at the end of the play, the coach challenged that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's my belief that when that goes upstairs to the replay officials, they are the same replay officials that work with the NFL officials. They did not go on strike. So I may be wrong, but in my opinion, kudos to the working referees on the field. It was the replay officials who kicked the call. And, even a better plug for the guys who are filling in.
Bob, that's an interesting point. And I think you actually touched on something pretty important. You're right. The guys that are in the booth aren't the guys that are on strike. And so they could have very easily kicked the call back on the field in support of their brethren, but they didn't do that. The game is supposed to be the issue. And so the game wins. I think we all want to see the regular officials come back. I mean, we don't want to be without them for a long time, but the officials who were in there working today.
By the way, breaking news.
Yes.
Randy Moss just got a touchdown pass.
Get out of here.
Look at, it's right on the screen.
Moss just caught a
touchdown pass from Alex Smith in the 49ers.
Oh, he was wide open.
They're 10-0 at Green Bay.
Wow.
Watch the little celebration he does right here.
Oh,
he points
my
to the back of his jersey.
84. There he is. 84's got it right there. How about that one, Bob? Randy Moss, mark it down.
That's great. I hated to see him go, but, you know.
We all did.
I just want to throw one other quickie in here.
Yeah, go.
These young kids that are stepping up, especially from the last 2 and 3 years, is showing Belichick didn't do a bad job with his draft picks. So I just wanted to bring those 2 points up, and really enjoy the show, and best of luck.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate that. It was a great day. Great day for the young kids today. They look like they belonged on an NFL field, and that is certainly all you can hope for. You probably hope for a little more than that if they're top-round draft picks, which certainly in Jones and Hightower's instance, yeah, first-rounders, you expect. But their first game, first big-time game, you got to expect that there's got to be a little apprehension on their part, don't you? I mean, they are human, right? They don't all have S on their chest and capes on their backs. They're human. Got to be some emotion there. And they, you know, the old cliche in football, pinned their ears back and got after it. They did that today. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Fire off your thoughts on the game today via email. I'm going to get to some of those coming up in a moment. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Pick up the phone. Join us here on the postgame show. Let me know what you thought about the game today. I'm going to pause for a timeout here. We'll hear from Bill Belichick and his postgame comments coming up next inside the Sun Life Patriots postgame show.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriot scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo sacks at Gerard Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 odd megabits per second available.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Have a hot take on today's game? Hit up Adam on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Adam Jones.
John Rook in for Adam Jones today. Patriots season opener successful, a 34-13 win over the Tennessee Titans. The ninth straight season opening win for the Patriots, the longest such current streak in the NFL. Tom Brady, 236 yards passing, two touchdowns. Stephen Ridley, 125 yards rushing, career best, and a touchdown. Patriots sacked Jake Locker twice. Forced two turnovers, one of them returned 6 yards by rookie linebacker Dante Hightower for a touchdown. New England even knocked Locker out of the game in the fourth quarter. He was, in fact, he should have asked him, should have asked Patrick Chung when we had him on just a little while ago. I said, hey, so you were the one that Locker was tackling when you went out, or when he went out. But he, you know, he did tell us that, the team, was ready for it today. They were focused on it physically, focused on, getting off to a good start, which is always good to do when you're on the road to start the season. George sends this. He says, awesome game. Just a little worried about the O-line and the secondary. Defense rookies lived up to their hype for the first game. 110% correct, George. 110% correct. We're all still a little concerned about the O-line and the secondary. However, you have to admit, both of them passed the test today because the ultimate result is in the one or the loss, and they got the one or the win today. One more here. Todd in Nova Scotia. John, listening, happy about the win today. Great day from Ridley. Looked faster than last year. I expected a big win. We got a big win. Lots to nitpick, the O-line and the secondary. Problem is, I have no idea how good the Titans are. Do they go on to win a game, or are they a playoff team? Need more information before I get too happy. Good sign for this year's draft that Hightower, Wilson, and Jones got as much playing time as they did. Correct, Todd. We do need to wait. That's why you temper your enthusiasm over the first, you know, game of the year. You're not sure what the opposition brings to the table. I think Tennessee will certainly prove to be a difficult matchup just because, as I've been talking about, their athleticism out there. But it also looked like, man, you know, they did have some wide open passes that were missed by Locker. I think they had a couple of drops in there as well. So, you know, that may be a rookie starter, even though he's a second-year guy. Maybe a rookie starter. Maybe part of his influence there. Now, when he went out, you know, on the tackle of Chung in the second half, it was his non-throwing shoulder that got banged up. And we did see Matt Hasselbeck back in there looking like the Matt Hasselbeck of old and leading that team down the field before the Patriots defense ultimately held again. Hard to say what kind of team Tennessee will have. You're right. I think that's a good point. We probably need to hold off. This game might be a game that we're happier about by mid-season than we are right now, especially if Tennessee goes on to win three or four or five games and, you know, they're competitive, you know, especially within their division. All right, let's get some post-game comments here. And up first, let's get into the locker room and listen to head coach Bill Belichick.
All right, yeah, good. That was a good win today by our players. Those guys did a really good job. We did a good job running the ball offensively. Did a decent job stopping the run on defense. Made some big plays. Turned the ball over. Had good field position. So it was a good team win. All three units contributed. We had a lot of guys step up. And I think if we can play that way, we'll be all right. But it was good to see everybody contribute and all the units do a good job for us. So it's always nice to get off to a good start, but we had a long way to go.
Coach, can you start with your ground game and the way Stephen Ridley ran the ball today? Offensive line came up big, obviously opened up some pretty big holes.
Yeah, of course, it always starts up front. You know, offensive line did a good job. We had some good holes. Backs ran hard. Stephen ran hard, broke some tackles. But our tight ends, our offensive line, our receivers blocked. So that was good. It was a good complimentary game. We had good balance offensively.
Can you talk a little bit about your rookies, Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower? They both seem to have a good game today.
Well, we'll see how it looks on the film. You know, I mean, I'm sure they had some good plays. I'm sure they had some other plays that weren't so great. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. They got a long way to go, but they've done a good job for us, and they keep working hard. I think they've, you know, have a chance to be good players for this team.
What did you like what you saw
defensively? Well, we didn't give up a lot of points. You know, we had a couple of red area stops, and so that was important. You know, we gave that drive. It started third quarter, which wasn't good, but I mean, otherwise, we were able to keep him out of the end zone, so that was, you know, that was a positive. It's hard to win in this league kicking field goals, so if we can play good red zone defense, not give up big plays, then you know, we shouldn't be giving up a lot of points.
Seems like turnovers were key for you in this game, too. Think about the tip play that Kyle Arrington had in the end zone, and Wilson came up with the interception there.
Yeah, those are big. We had a couple other ones that we could have had. We didn't hang on to the ball or whatever. But, yeah, that was a good play. Kyle went up and played the ball. Tavon was there to get it. And then, of course, we had the strip sack and fumble recovery there. So, I mean, that was a huge play in the game. Obviously, those seven-point swings, defensive scores are, you know, they're always enormous plays in the National Football League. It's so tight, so competitive. When you get bonus points like that, that usually tips the scales. So, it was good. Good team defense.
When you play a game as good as you played, you also focus on missed opportunities. That one play on Brandon Lloyd at the beginning of the game down the middle.
Yeah, there's a lot of things we can do better. Yeah, there's a lot of things we can do better. I mean, we got started, but right now it's early in the season. We got a long way to go, and we need to just improve every week, and so that's what we'll concentrate on this week. But I think there's a lot of things that we can do a better job of: better coaching, better play, and better overall execution. So we'll work on that this week. All right. Thanks, Phil. Anything else? Good? Okay. Thank you.
Bill Belichick, postgame, just moments ago from Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, and certainly predictable, I think, in some of his comments, as I know those of you who are familiar with Coach Belichick will realize. However, you know, he was happy. I mean, hard to tell sometimes, but yeah, he was happy. He's pleased. How could you not be? Especially with the way that, you know, we slogged through miserably during the preseason. But if this game doesn't tell you that preseason one-loss records mean nothing, then I don't know what will tell you. But they mean nothing. You don't show them anything. Your regulars don't play. You're playing a lot of different guys. Nothing. And our major concerns largely were over some of the offensive protection by the line in the preseason. Didn't mean much today, did it? A lot of that is because they're moving guys in and out in the preseason, and they're playing with different combinations out on the field in the preseason, more so than even, you know, guys who watch it closely like I do, more so than even we realize how much they're moving around. And they're changing assignments. And because of that, you don't have the continuity, and you're doing a lot of experimenting, and the end result in the preseason is, you got a mistake or two. Or you look or feel shaky out there. And today, the offensive line largely stayed intact, except for when Vollmer went out, Marcus Cannon came in, and Cannon, I thought, did a really good job today. So, yeah, are there things that you can improve upon? Sure. I think we saw that. Execution-wise, offensively, Brady, off-target on some of his passes, the long extended drive that Tennessee had in the third quarter that resulted in their only touchdown. You know, you want to be able to, you know, limit, obviously, you don't like to give up 10 play plus drives. You want to be able to knock somebody out. If you can't get them three and out, you want to be able to knock them out before they can even get into field goal range. And so you'd like to think that you can get them, if you give them a first down on a third down play, then you like to think that you can end a drive at about six plays. I think you'd that's where you'd at least aim for, target for. And they did give up the long drive to get their only score. And I think in the secondary, yeah, sure. You might have played a little soft in some instances. Nate Washington, I thought in particular, was one of the few Titans that actually had a pretty good game. He caught the touchdown pass. He went up and caught a beauty over Rashai Dowling early in the game. So, you know, yeah, there are things you can work on. No doubt. Travis in Collierville, Tennessee says, offense looked improved with the addition of Lloyd. I was happy to see a good running game, minus the last couple drives to run out the clock. Front seven on the D looked much better, but still concerned about the secondary, which would have been worse if a better quarterback was in there to hit their targets. I don't disagree with that, Travis. As I said earlier, that's not Tennessee's game plan. They want to take advantage of Locker's athleticism and roll him out, and then hopefully let those receivers on the end, Kendall Wright, who I really liked coming out of the draft from Baylor, try to take advantage of their speed. I don't think they did that enough today. And maybe that was some of Locker's inexperience. I don't know. Maybe that was Chris Palmer calling the plays, who obviously Patriots fans should be familiar with. He used to be here. Maybe that was Mike Munchak as a first-time head coach. I don't know. What was it? Maybe they'll get those things together and be one of the more surprising offenses in the league before all is said and done. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. If I'm a Titans fan, yeah, I'm disappointed in the outcome, but quite frankly, I'm encouraged at least by what I saw athletically on the field. It's an athletic team. It's going to count for something before it's over. Here's Brian in Brighton, Massachusetts. Brian, you're in the postgame show.
Hey, Rook, how's it going?
Good, Brian. What's up?
Not much. I feel a little bad for you when you're begging for calls earlier. But
Well, I'm not sure anybody's like, you know, who the hell is this guy? Where's Adam? And then I'm like, geez, we just won the game. Where the frick are the calls?
Well, I was laughing at your complaint, though. I mean, poor Pac-Man, he was doing these shows after preseason games at like 11 o'clock at night.
And it was brutal. I know. And it's not fair to him. Adam's very good at what he does. He's a nice, young, talented guy. You know, we got to show him a little bit of love here.
Oh, yeah. So I wanted to touch real quickly on a couple of things.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, everyone's bringing up the things that I liked. You know, I loved seeing a great rushing attack. I liked seeing Hightower and Jones looked amazing. But the one thing I did want to touch on is the thing that previous emailer just touched it, and you just talked about it. I'm still a little skeptical on our secondary.
Yeah,
it looks like we can still give up some big plays with, you know, I think most offenses are still trying to get their stuff together. So I'm a little nervous how that'll end up in the season.
Well, you know, I don't think you can be a little nervous, but I think you can also be confident that I think we've seen where the Patriots have enough talent to overcome any problems they may have. And we had somebody mention it on the pregame show earlier today. Fact remains is that, you know, while the offensive line is a point of contention at this second, let's give Dante Scarnecchia some credit here. I mean, he's stuck around, you know, as a coach in this league for as long as he has because he's got ways. He knows how to fix things when they're broken. And if something is fixed, is not fixed here on the offensive line, it won't take him long to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, he works magic with what seemed like scrubs sometimes.
Best offensive line coach in the game, bar none.
Yeah, I would agree with that. One thing, though, I did want to bring up, and I mean, I know this is the Patriots show and all, but if we're gonna bring up the officials, there was definitely one undebatable, completely blown call on the McCourty pass interference.
Yeah, you mean? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, here's the thing. Yes and no. And Paul and I had this debate during the game as we watched the game together upstairs here at the stadium. The fact is that McCourty made contact with the receiver. And then by the rule of thumb, as we're told here, contact on the receiver, whether you turn around for the ball or not, should be flagged. Now, the fact that he didn't turn around has nothing to do with it. In fact, you don't have to turn around at all. You can legally face guard, if you will, somebody not turning around as long as you don't make contact with the receiver, and contact was made.
Yes. Well, the turning around is more of an indicator thing, right? I mean, turning around means that you know the ball's coming, you're looking, you're going for the ball. If you're not even turned around, you have no idea what's going on.
Well, but here's the judgment, Brian. If you turn around for the ball and the receiver's making a play for the ball and contact is made, then who the hell is the pass interference on?
That's what I'm saying. So usually that gives you maybe a little leeway. But if you're not even turned around, you don't even know what's going on, and you're committing contact, that's a call. I mean, nine times out of ten, that's a call.
Can't disagree with that. But the Patriots were the benefactors there, so what are you going to do, right?
Yes, I mean, that's what I mean. It's the Patriots show, but I mean, that's a terribly blown call, in my opinion. And I would even go so far as to say that I think eight times out of ten, that Chung call would have been a pass interference call as well.
It might have been. You're absolutely right. It might have been.
And both in the end zone, and those are big blown calls.
Well,
if you were a Tennessee, if this was a Titan show, we would be moaning.
I think you'd be very upset with the pass interference call more so than anything else today. I certainly can understand that, and they probably have a legitimate gripe. But the fact is they lost the game by 21. That's not a 21-point swing.
Oh yeah. I don't disagree. If we're going to evaluate them, we got to point out those flaws.
Sure, right? And that's fair. That's fair game.
But those happen. Those happens with the regular rest too.
They do.
You always pick that stuff.
They do. You're absolutely right about that. So you know that's very true. I think overall, I think the officials, maybe with the exception of a call or two, did a very very good job.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Brian, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate the time today. Let's get to Melvin in Tennessee. Melvin, I was wondering if we were going to hear from you today.
You knew it was coming.
Yeah, I did.
How you doing?
I'm good, pal.
Okay, well, I just had a quick observation. I guess you can agree or disagree with it, but of course, I'm pretty happy about the game. Played pretty good defense. Offensive line held up. Only concern if we're going to nitpick some certain little things is that, you know, I guess it's a good game for Brandon Lloyd, but I want to see a little bit more of the receivers established on the outside because I feel, you know, once we get later on down the line, of course, playoffs, that a lot of teams are going to try to flood the middle with the tight end. So I noticed a lot of completed passes over the middle. So I just want that threat to kind of, of course, I guess it's a pretty good starting game, but I just want him to be a little bit more involved in offense. You know, Welkovich was very quiet today, and you know, I don't know how it's going to fit with all those people running in the middle now with Gronk and Hernandez. You know, I'm really concerned on where's Welkovich going to fit at.
Well,
he
Melvin, I really don't know that that's a worry here. We talked about it before the game in the pregame social, and we were talking about how, you know, if you had to have one or the other, and somebody gave us an over-under type question, if you had to have one guy or the other have a good game and a poor game, what would you choose for Welker versus Hernandez? And we said, well, we all want Hernandez to have the good game and Welker to have the bad game. And why is that? Well, simply because we know what Welker can do. He wasn't targeted as much today. He really wasn't. So because of that, I mean, we know the Patriots, they're sort of morphing offensively into this two tight end, you know, or actually a tight end and a half. I don't even know that you can call Hernandez a tight end. He's not really. And he's a sort of a hybrid guy who may be Brady's number one target now. And that's taken nothing away from Welker. I think, though, that if you look ahead on this thing, I think we all realize that Hernandez is the kind of guy that'll probably step in and replace Welker if he doesn't come back next year. And so because of that, you know, Welker's going to get his shots this year. You know, they're going to be teams now. They're going to scheme and take those two guys out of it. That's going to leave the middle of the field open, and Wes is going to have his day. The problem with, you know, guarding the Patriots is you can't cover everybody. So I'm not concerned at all about Welker getting only three catches today. Not at all.
Okay. That's the only thing I had to say. I was just, you know, I just want to see us, Brandon Lloyd and Welker get a little bit more. Of course, we're spoiled, so we want even more.
Sure, I thought Lloyd did a pretty good job today, didn't you?
Yeah. I just thought he did. I thought they did. How many times did they target him? I was thinking he was going to get targeted more, but you know, maybe not. I think maybe. Of course, I just feel whenever I see the tight end catching all the passes, I just like, well, you know, well, the tight ends caught the passes, but the running game was going. I guess they really didn't need them today. But
yeah,
hopefully, in the bigger games, I just hope that, you know, still, I mean, I still have faith. He did pretty good.
He did pretty good. I don't know how many times they targeted him. I'm going to guess and say they probably targeted him 7 or 8. How many catches did he have today? I don't even look at the numbers. I don't have them in front of me. I'll find them here, and I'll figure that out for you.
Yeah, he probably almost has as many yards as Ocho did last year. Just about almost a single game. He's almost halfway there, I'm sure.
Here's the Patriots receiving. They had Lloyd had 5 grabs today. That's about what I thought. So I'm going to guess he was probably targeted. Well, at least, we know he missed 1, 2. I think he was targeted. It looks like 8 or 9 times.
Okay, well, I guess that's decent. How many yards did he have?
Lloyd had 5 grabs, 69 yards.
Okay, well, that's decent.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, it says here he had 8 targets. 8 targets.
8 targets. Okay.
Okay.
Well, of course, yeah, like I said, he probably has to get a couple of games going and they're getting to a rhythm and everything, but that's good to see him out there making some catches and contributing.
Oh,
happy.
He definitely did that, Melvin. Hey, thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem.
You got it.
See you later.
Yep. Cedric in Chicago. John, I'm very happy about the win. Also very concerned about the left tackle position with Nate Solder. I think he didn't do a good job at all protecting Tom. There was a lot of low balls thrown by Tom because he felt pressure coming from his blind side. We did speak to that a little bit, Cedric. I am definitely concerned about that. I also think the secondary is a work in progress. As long as they don't give up big plays, I'll be all right with that. The secondary just needs to manage the game. On the bright side of things, I believe that H-bomb was unleashed. The Gronk was masterful. Lloyd was very good. Wes was good as well because he occupied some of the defenders in the sense that defenses have to plan for him. So despite the fact that he had just 3 catches for 14 yards, he was effective just by being on the field. That's a good point. Regarding the officials, they gave us a cookie with that defensive pass interception that was not called against us at the beginning of the game. But, hey, I'll take it gladly. Cedric, good stuff. And I think you're spot on with some of those observances. Do we want to hear from Tom Brady now? Do we have him, Kevin? All right. We'll get back to the phone calls. Hang on, Big Al. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com. The email as we roll along here with our Sun Life Financial postgame. Let's hear from the quarterback, Tom Brady.
That's right. Actually, that was the only good one I really took. So, I think the offensive line played really well. You know, it was a relatively clean game in terms of penalties and turnovers and so forth. It wasn't perfect by any stretch, but it's always fun winning. So, that was a good feeling.
You finally hooked up with Brandon Lloyd. That pass at the beginning, down the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, we were close. You know, when they're that open, you know, you don't want to miss those ones. So he made some really nice plays on the ball. Everyone really contributed. So it was a fun game. It was a great way to start the year.
Your defense can play the way it did, and you can have a running game established the way it did. Add some miles to your longevity, doesn't it?
Well, I tell you, they've been playing like that all preseason, the defense. You know, we see them in practice every day, so, you know, they're very competitive. They're competitive on the outside. They rush the quarterback, get turnovers. And they do a good job covering the backside of the backfield, so it was a lot of team defense out there, and you know, I thought the special teams really complemented what we were doing. It was, you know, very much a team win. It was great. I mean, he ran the, you know, ran the ball extremely well. So, you know, we got to continue to do that. It was very balanced in terms of running and passing. You know, that's what makes it tough to defend. So, situationally, I mean, obviously there's things we could have done better. You know, but at least it's something to build on.
Your defense had to score that touchdown. Are you ready to come back out to walk right over that play?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Have you had a broken nose before?
In my life? No. Previous life? Not sure. No. I have no idea what a broken nose feels like.
Not good.
Yeah, not good. No, it'll be fine. I need some of that anyway.
Briefly talked about going into the game.
Well, I think it's something that we've been doing all season long, you know, all through mini camp, training camp, regular season games. I mean, it's, you know, we're made a commitment to running the football, and you saw it today. I mean, it's a lot of carries by the backs. You know, they have a lot of opportunity. So, you know, when you can control the tempo of the game with running the ball, it really helps out the rest of the teams. Helps special teams, helps defense. I'm not sure what the time of possession was, but it obviously helps out as well. So, you know, you just can't drop back and throw it 50 times a game. And if we're around 30 passes a game, that's right where you want to be.
Is it more significant still running than a lot of people? You keep hearing about the young late guys that are
still. Yeah.
Is it more significant still than maybe some people recognize?
Sure. And, you know, the toughness of your team is built around running the ball and stopping the run. And in the critical games and the critical situations, that's what you're, you know, that's if that's the foundation of your team and that's what you're built on, then that's what you got to be able to do. You got to run it when they know you're going to run it. And I say that all the time. And, you know, I think with what we do in a run game and play action game, and you spread them out and you screen, you run draws, you run traps, you run, you know, spread the ball to, you know, all the different receivers, it really makes for, it's hard for the defense to just key in on something and say this is what we got to do. So you really got to defend everything.
Getting back to your nose for something, so I needed some of that anyway.
What do you mean by that?
I need some scars and some.
What are you, pretty boy?
No, hopefully not. You know, I never mind a little blood, but.
Tom, you guys look real comfortable out there offensively. Is that the mindset offensively when you go out and play?
Yeah, I mean, Coach always talks about us going out there for one reason. It's to score points. You know, he doesn't expect us to go out there and punt the ball. And, you know, I thought there were times where we did a good job of that, and there's times where we really didn't do a good job of that, and we had opportunity to do that. So, you know, getting off to a good start on first down really allows you, you know, really third down situations that are shorter, which you're obviously going to do a much better job at. So, you know, we've sustained drives. I don't think we had too many three and outs, if any. You know, but we got to do a better job sustaining over the course of the drive what we need to be able to do, unless, you know, you hit a long play, and then when you call those, you got to hit those.
Do you remember the play you step up and hit Hernandez?
For the touchdown?
Yeah, for the touchdown.
Yep.
Take us through that for a second.
Yeah, I came off the play fake, and I looked to Gronk on the right, and, you know, they had him covered, and then I, you know, slid up in the pocket and saw, you know, Aaron starting to get open, and, you know, he made a great move on the guy he was on, and, you know, I just threw it, and you know, he made a great catch, and it was a great way to start the year. So,
certainly
those are always fun.
Production from the tight ends the last couple of years, but to have both Rob and Aaron going on the
Well, they, you know, they complement each other, and I think, you know, Mike, you guys probably pronounce his name better than I can, but he did a nice job filling in at that tight end spot as well. So, you know, that's a strong position for us in receiver. To, you know, build and play well. You know, and then, like I said, it wasn't all perfect, but, you know, it's good enough, and it's good enough to get a win on the road. So.
Can you walk us through the play where you injured your nose? What happened in that play?
It was third down, and they were in man-to-man and called a play, and I just got flushed a little bit, kind of similar to the preseason game against the Saints. So I'm glad it wasn't a strip sack. I've heard about that for a long time if that happened. So at the last second, I felt the guy behind me, and I just hit the ground.
So did anything come into your mask, or was this just into the ground?
I'm not sure. I have no idea. Yeah. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom,
last one, then I'm
gonna. What do you think of the offensive line? I hope from Napier and Newman, left tackle, Logan come back from ACL, Sebastian come back, new center. It's a whole new group. How did you think they're going?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we've been working on all preseason. Like I said, it hadn't really come together until this week with, you know, Logan and being there a lot, Seabass coming back. There's quite a bit of depth at that position. I mean, it was a very competitive training camp, so. The guys that were in there and really earned that spot. I mean, Nate's been out there all camp, so, you know, he continues to improve, but I'm extremely comfortable and confident in those guys, and, you know, they work their butt off, so you just got to stand there and try to make the throws. You know, that's what this team really counts on me for, so thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
And there's Tom Brady, the quarterback of the Patriots, in the aftermath of the 34-13 win over the Tennessee Titans today. John Rook in for Adam Jones again here as we continue with our Sun Life Patriots postgame show exclusively on Patriots.com radio. Right back to the phones. Here's our friend Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. You must have been happy today, Big Al.
John Rook, you are a great American.
Thank you, sir.
You are a great American.
Same are you. Same are you.
Well, thank you very much, my friend. What did we say all last year? We said, well, gee, can the Patriots win a game when Tom Brady doesn't bring his A game, you know, to the party, so to speak?
Yeah.
And, you know, it did happen a couple of times last year where we did win games when he wasn't at his best. But I'm not sure he even brought his B game today. And we still win on the road by 21 points. So, you know, defense, I think, is better. Running game, better. And if it takes the heat off of Tom a little bit, fine. You know? I mean, whatever it takes. I mean, if we win the game and Tom doesn't throw for 3,000 yards, so what? You know, we win the game. But I will say this. There's one thing about Brady that I was very impressed with today that in the past I think he's had a problem with.
Okay.
And that is, you know, he doesn't want to kick a field goal. He wants a touchdown every time. And that's part of what we love about him. He's a competitor, you know, and, it, you know, but sometimes, you know, discretion, you know, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And late in the game today, we had a third and goal, 15-point lead, timeout by Josh McDaniels, and you know he's telling him, Tom, you know, if you get flushed, you get rushed, something's not open, just airmail it.
Yeah.
Because 3 points is good. Right here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
He got flushed out, and Aaron Hernandez was in the back of the end zone, if you recall, and he just airmailed it over his head. And you know what? I said 3 cheers for Tom Brady. That is a good play. That's a great play.
It was almost, though, as if, Al, it was almost as if, though, he let go of the ball, and then he realized that Aaron was open in the back of the end zone. And ironically, Big Matt LaPan, our producer, one of our producers, said, and we were watching the game, and he says, that looked just like Dwight Clark's The Catch for San Francisco, because he was rolling in the same spot of the end zone, and he knew that Brady saw that. You could almost tell, like, he let go of the ball, and he's like, oh, he's open, I just overthrew him.
Well,
you know?
Maybe if Aaron Hernandez could have, you know, right-footed it or whatever and got up in the air, maybe he gets a hand on it or something. But you know what? The point is, you know, 3 points is fine. You know, get to 15 to 18, that's just as good as a 7. You don't need a 7 right there, okay? And in the last year, Tom, you know, tried to squeeze one in there against the Redskins, got picked off. And they came down the other and almost tied the game.
Well, I think that's partly because maybe this year he realizes that last year, in order to beat people, he felt like he had to outscore people.
Right, right. And this year, maybe he feels like he doesn't.
Maybe.
Which is fine.
Maybe.
I'm glad that he doesn't. If that's the way he feels, good. That means we got a better defense, a better running game. I really like the kids that we got on defense now. We did catch a couple of breaks on those pass interference. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Although with the, you know what, with regular refs, they might have missed those calls too.
Sure, it's possible. And I had a couple of callers also say that. And I don't think you can really attribute that to the fact that you had replacement officials. Sometimes the real guys also screw up.
John, and you and I have been about the same age. I've been watching football since 1966.
Yeah.
Still don't understand what pass interference is. Yeah. I'm totally clueless.
Well, okay? contact with the receiver. That much we know. And contact was made with the receiver.
Yeah, I think you're right. So we caught a couple of breaks. So, okay, but still, I still like the defense despite that. I think that we were covering people. There wasn't people running around wide open or whatever. I mean, we got a good pass rush, a good solid pass rush, I think, and Hightower. And Spikes as a combination, I think, is a great combination.
Agreed.
So, I mean, I think the defense really, this is, I think we're looking up this year on defense, which, again, if that takes the pressure off of Tom, all the better.
Well, it's good early returns, and as we mentioned earlier in the program today, Al, we realize it's only 1 week. There's still 15 more of these games to play.
You bet.
But at least for the first game, you feel better about the defense now than certainly you did before the kickoff.
Absolutely.
And that's really all you can ask for. Week one, that's all you can ask for.
That's all you can ask for. And, I think it's always good when you open up a season on the road, because you look at a 16-game season, what would be the perfect, to-be-expected season? You win all your home games, hopefully, and you split on the road, and you end up 12-4.
Right.
Here we have a chance to get up the first game instead of being, we've had a lot of games in Gillette, it seems like, to open the season.
Well, this is just the third time in the last 9 years the Patriots have opened up on the road.
Okay, I'm glad you said that because that was just my impression. I didn't have a stat in mind to back that up, and I'm glad that there is one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's good, you steal one on the road early, and that you feel like you're ahead of the game already,
and you're
coming home and you got a chance to really string some together here.
We've only got
one really tough road game, it seems like to me. I mean, they could all be, you never know what happens in an NFL season. But looking at it right now, the game at Baltimore looks like a tough game.
Agreed.
Other than that, it seems like we have our tougher games at home.
Agreed.
So,
agreed. You got San Francisco and Houston. So, yeah,
there
I agree.
You go. And Denver.
And Denver,
also
too.
At home.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. With Peyton Manning. So, I mean, I think that sets up well. It's early, but I'm really, really encouraged by this defense. We just got to watch the stuff, the contact, and the defensive backfield a little bit. But beyond that, I think the potential, I like Dowling. I like Dowling a lot. And I think we just got to get Devin McCourty to turn around and look at the ball.
That would
come
help.
Come on, Devin.
Yeah, it would help. If
come
he can
on,
make
look
that,
at the ball.
Yeah, if he can do that, I don't disagree.
If he can do that, I think that'll help him a lot. But beyond that, I think with the potential in the front seven and a couple guys out back looks pretty good.
Good stuff, Al. I assume I'll hear from you during the season.
I'm sure you will, John Rook. Absolutely. I promise you I will.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
All right, man. You got it. Big Allen, Valdosta, Georgia. Okay. More emails here. Sam from Parlin, New Jersey. I was impressed with two things. Steven Ridley was a beast. I feel good about him running the ball. Pat's D stepped up. I know we sucked last season. We could only go up, but the defense did really good for me. Football is back, baby. Woo-hoo. Agreed, Sam. Good stuff. Todd writes, replacement refs were fine. We forget how bad the real refs were. A lot of gall asking for a pay raise. I don't know about that. Todd, I don't think the real refs are all that awful. I think the replacement refs probably feel like they're under a lot of pressure. Number one, because they are replacement refs, they did have to technically cross a picket line to go there. So, they're probably committing professional suicide, at least in a professional sense. I don't think they're even be reffing in the NFL perhaps after this whole thing is over for a while. But at the same time, they want to speak to the integrity of the game. They want to make sure that they aren't the issue after the game is over, that nobody's talking about them. And really, we're not. And that's the best thing you can say about these guys. And you're right, Todd. The replacement refs were fine. But I think the game overall will be better once there is a deal that's struck between the league and the officials. Scott in Suffolk, Virginia. Biggest surprise. Welker only 3 catches. Ridley finally coming on. Josh McDaniels back at the offensive helm. Okay, good choices. I asked earlier via email for what you thought your biggest surprise was that you didn't expect to see today out on the field. Welker, only 3 catches, I would say, would have to be at the top of my list as well. But again, as I've mentioned already a couple of times here, I don't think you need to read anything to it. I certainly don't find it alarming. What I think is that the game plan is to get Gronk and Hernandez their touches. I mean, if you're going to start 2 tight ends, you're going to go with 2 tight ends. And then when someone figures out a way to take those guys out of it, who's there left over but good old reliable and Wes Welker? So Welker only having 3 is a surprise, yes, but not a disappointment. There's a difference. Tim from, my buddy Tim from Kamloops, British Columbia. John, yep, your old buddy Tim from Kamloops here. I thought the play Locker was hurt on was probably going to be overturned, as either way it was a really close call. True. Let's not have revisionist history here thinking the regular officials are flawless. I thought this group made about the same number of poor calls. Big pass interference, no call, and a couple of missed holds. Yep. As the regular crew who we complain about every week. I know it's only week one, but boy, we really seem to be phasing Welker out. Great start. Impressive rookies. Catch you on the playbook. Thanks, Tim. Awesome. I'll look forward to hearing from you again as well. You know, phasing Welker out might be a strong statement. I really don't think that Bill Belichick and or Josh McDaniels are going to phase him out. Now, a conspiracy theorist, and believe me, I'm right there with you. I love a good conspiracy like anybody else. But a conspiracy theorist might say, well, you know, geez, we didn't give Welker the money. He could go free agent next year. Maybe the Patriots don't target him as much, and maybe he'll be willing to stick around more for can't they franchise? He's got one more franchise tag, so yeah, they could franchise him again next year. Or when he's going out asking for the free agent money, maybe it just lessens his overall worth on the marketplace if he doesn't have statistically as big a year as he had, say, a year or two ago. Okay, a conspiracy theorist might say that. But to me, the Patriots organization has always been about winning. No matter how you get there, they're going to put the players out there that put them in the best position to win, because the bottom line is winning. And if that means giving Welker 16 opportunities to catch a ball and he comes up with 15 of them, they're going to do it. They're not going to phase him out. They're not going to freeze him out. I refuse to believe that. It's a good theory, Tim, a good theory. I understand why you would think that. I'm not going to believe it. Now, let's revisit this, Tim, and I know you will. You'll remember this after midweek, all right? Once we get, you know, week 9, week 10, after we get a little bit more than halfway through the regular season, and if Welker has only caught, say, 30 balls or less, then I'll give you your credit, and I'll say that there might be more to it. So we'll revisit that. We'll see what happens. Todd says in Nova Scotia, says, hey, John, I got a nitpick for you already. What was up with the Gronk spike? He fumbled the ball, got to hold on to it better than that. Poor ball security will cost us. Todd, you're absolutely right. And you've stolen my number one nitpick for today already for Tuesday. Thank you.
He's taking notes for Tuesday.
He is. Oh, that was going to be it. Gronk blew the spike. The ball slipped out of his hands on the first touchdown catch. Oh, brutal. Yeah, he's got to do a better job of holding on to the ball. No doubt about that. Peter says, John, good to listen to you on this Nitpick Sunday. we may have to have a Nitpick Sunday segment now, huh, inside the postgame show. My nitpick is Zoltán Mezco had a particularly bad game. 28-yard punt in the first quarter is a poor effort. But other than that, this team is looking to go 19-0 and bring home Lombardi number 4. Peace out. Listen to you the rest of the show, plus Tuesday through Thursday on the playbook. Oh, man. See, I got to hire Peter as my PR agent here. He's plugging me. Pugging me. Like it. You know, the 28-yard punt, I think, you know, you have to realize Mesko had an unbelievable year statistically. He led the league in...
And he did fine after that.
Yeah, he led the league in net punt average, which is hard to do. I mean, he had a net punting average of, what, about 44, 45 yards a kick? That's astronomical. When you realize you take the net average after the punt return, that means he's booming some kicks 50-plus yards.
He's forcing a lot of fair catches, so you know they get good hang time.
Right, and he was in a couple of those occasions early on in the game today, so that's why his overall average suffered. He missed one punt. It happened to be the first one. Other than that, I thought he did fine today.
And if a bad punt results in the other team getting the ball on their own 18-yard line, it's like in golf, you say, that's a good miss.
Yes, good miss. All right, final email here. Sean writes, hey, very happy we won. Great way to start the season. Offense is clicking, but I don't like what we have on our corners. Everything other part of the defense looks much better. Very happy about that. Corners got abused today by essentially a rookie. Still looking for a playmaker. Not happy. McCourty looks the same. Rassai, I'm losing hope in. And Arrington is playing at his ceiling. Nice play on the tip, though. We need more plays from the corners. Dennard, maybe, and he wasn't active today. Alfonso Dennard was not active. Yeah, he could be a possibility, maybe.
By the way, David Green Acres just made a 63-yard field goal right in front of you.
Oh, my God. He did?
He hit the crossbar, the ball bounced up in the air, and went through the uprights.
So 63 ties the NFL record.
And he is not a spring chicken. That's
David
an old Akers. Man kicking that
he
ball.
He just went six. I'm just watching it on the replay here.
Yeah.
Good
so a little,
grief.
A little bit of history here while we're ending this show.
Well, we had Randy Moss catching a touchdown pass for the 49ers, and David Akers hits a NFL record-tying 63-yard field goal. Who else can? Look at Harbaugh. He's going nuts. That's awesome. See, that's the time when records can be broken on the last play of a half. That's when you should try the 63, 65-yarder. Hey, he tied the record. Good for him. Gang, that's going to do it for today's Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Great win for the Patriots. Clearly, any win is a great win in the NFL. 34-13, the final over Tennessee, which means now at 1-0, the Patriots will open up next season with the home opener right here at Gillette Stadium with the Arizona Cardinals, looking for old momentum to get them rolling as the season gets underway. Don't forget, of course, we'll have Patriots Monday here on Patriots.com radio, simulcasting with WEEI throughout the day. And then PFW in Progress back here on Tuesday at noon Eastern, followed by yours truly, Inside the Playbook, at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday as well. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, full week, game week number 2. Nobody's going anywhere. We'll be here every day. I know you're looking forward to that, right, Kev? All right, good stuff. Have a great weekend, the rest of it anyway. Watch some good football tonight. We're back here Tuesday, Patriots.com Radio.
This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Next Sunday, the Patriots return to Gillette Stadium for the 2012 home opener against the Arizona Cardinals. Kickoff is set for 1 p.m. Be sure to tune into the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social at 10:45 a.m., followed by the Sun Life Patriots postgame show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.